Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Here for public forum.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Commissioner Calkins, you are going to speak today about naming this building after the Gates family. Well, given what's been said about this building, I don't know if you've considered the fact that the Gates family might take that as an insult.
Oh, man, the backdrop on this, there's a lot of got to get there for this story. It's one that we talked about a little bit yesterday, but this is the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting yesterday. And basically what happened is at the very beginning of the meeting, Commissioner Calkins, James Calkins, pulled the item and said, I'm not going to, you know, have this item to rename the Tiger Point Community Center, the Gates Family Community Center. But nevertheless, you had there one of the ladies mentioned, you know, because she was in the process of talking about the Tiger Point Community Center and some of the various problems that they have there with regards to handling the AV and the technology. And that's why they're talking about not having the meeting there anymore in part. Anyway, and so maybe you shouldn't be doing that because of, you know, the problems. OK, but the backdrop on all this is so important because what happened here, as I understand it, is you had Commissioner Colton Wright had put an item on to rename the community center in Pace for now past, you know, he's deceased, Don Salter, longtime commissioner in Santa Rosa County. And apparently sometime shortly thereafter, James Calkins responded by adding an item to name the Tiger Point Community Center for the Gateses. And if you want to understand that, you know, because the Pace Community Center is more in James's area and the Tiger Point Community Center is more in Colton's area. So it feels like, to me anyway, like what James was doing was trying to get back at, you know, Colton Wright for how dare you name and for the guy he ran against, Don Salter, even though publicly having beaten him and also he's now passed away. James is always saying very positive things about Don Salter, which I always think is a little bit weird because you ran against him and you can't sit there and praise him for being this great hero, wonderful man, did all the stuff for the community. Well, why'd you run against him then, sir? So all kinds of weird stuff in this vicinity. But the takeaway is that it was first going to be the Salter Community Center for Pace, and then it was going to be the Gates Community Center in Tiger Point. And then James Calkins announced early in the meeting that he was going to pull that item out of, you know, respect for this being about Don Salter. I'm guessing somebody got to him and said, bro, this is A, dumb, B, the Gates is neither of them want this. That'd be my guess, okay, is that he didn't bother to call them to ask them if they wanted it. And somehow or other, I'm guessing that somebody told him, dude, the people that you're trying to honor don't want it, and I'm sure neither one of them would because it's a silly idea while somebody's alive. You don't name buildings after people while they're alive. You remember the community center in Milton? You remember who we named that after?
I do. What happened to that guy? Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Well, what happened?
He went to jail.
For what?
I think it was financial-related stuff, you know, in the city of Milton. So, you know, there's a reason we don't name buildings after living people. Because their deeds aren't done. So that's why we
No,
do that
was a weird story.
Yeah, very weird story. Okay, so Jerry Cooey, who is running against James in District 3, just, you know, understand for context, so he will take opportunity at the county commission to raise, you know, make a stink about it kind of issues with regards to Commissioner Calkins, and he asks this question.
Many of us do. We pull the, we take a look at the agenda on Friday, and think we all spotted the naming of the Tiger Point Community Center was on the agenda. And it seemed real important that it be on there on Friday, but suddenly today it's not. And I mean, in all fairness to the citizens, I think Commissioner Calkins needs to explain why suddenly it's not important anymore, or if anyone could shed any light as to why that's not moving forward. I think we'd like to hear it.
Yeah, which is his, I think, way of saying, you know, you can't really explain why you put it on there, like retaliation, and then you pulled it off. And so James Calkins says,
I basically said that, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but today's a day about honoring Don Salter. And that's what I said earlier.
Yeah, but this was his actual comment from earlier in the meeting.
Changes the agenda.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I would like to withdraw the item I put on Friday regarding the name of the Tiger Point Community Center. I think today we need to focus on Commissioner Don Salter.
Which, again, is a pretty big change of heart from the Friday add to the Monday delete. Like, why exactly? So that's what Jerry Cooey wants to know. And James Calkins, well, maybe you didn't hear me earlier. Well, you didn't give a decent enough explanation. Because if withdrawing it out of respect for Don Salter was the reason on Monday, then why would you add it out of, what, disrespect for Don Salter on Friday? Like, it's a, you know, kind of a weird position to take.
And I can appreciate that. And Don Salter did many amazing things. However, you haven't explained to the citizens why you suddenly had a change of heart and you don't want to name the building after the Gates family anymore. That'll be my last comment.
Thank you. And Mr. Cooey, I will say that Commissioner Calkins gave his reasons, and we should accept them for what they are.
He didn't really give a reason. I think Colton's being very gracious here, and good for him. He's got it in him yesterday. I don't have it in me this morning. 6:16 on News Radio 92.3. So what about the Salter name? We'll get to that in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
It looks like there is an accident. This is Davis and Johnson right near HCA Florida West Hospital, and it is backed up northbound on Davis and eastbound on Johnson, and then still slow, of course, in every other direction. So caution there. That's the only thing that I'm seeing right now. If you see an accident or a slowdown, I have a traffic tip. You can text 437-1620. This brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for your no-hassle estimate. That's 250-3756. We are News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So then the other question came up about the naming of the Pace Community Center for former Commissioner Don Salter.
We're all aware of Commissioner Salter's, you know, decades of service to Santa Rosa County, whether it be, you know, sitting on this board previously or even his other efforts in the community over the years. And, you know, I just thought after his passing, it was one of those things. He, you know, his home is directly next door to the Pace Community Center, and I think he was instrumental in getting that facility, constructed and being part of that. And I just thought it would be appropriate with his passing to memorialize him. I think that would mean a lot to his family. I think that would mean a lot to the residents of Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's an easy thing. And again, this is in Calkins District 3, okay, because that's where obviously Don Salter lives, since that was he was the commissioner that lost to James Calkins for reasons that I think we all look back on and wonder what in the world. But okay, so Commissioner Calkins then goes into his over-the-top effusive praise mode, which I still think is super weird. It sits weird on me when I hear him talk this way about Don Salter.
I deeply appreciate you bringing this up. I would like to let everybody know, so when I ran for office, I actually lived up the road from Commissioner Salter, and we were on Nichols Estate Road, and the closest park was that park next to his house, and we actually named it back then Salter Park. My daughter knows that park as Salter Park.
Well, that's nice. Okay, that's fine.
Don Salter is an amazing person, a fighter for our country, got shot in combat, a real war hero, a man of honor.
Why'd you run against
him? A man that protected Whiting Field from encroachment, a man that has done amazing service to our county, our country, a man of just character. And
again, why'd you run against him?
It'll be an honor to name that building next to his house after him, and he was instrumental in getting that there, and it'll be pretty cool to it be the official name as Salter's Park. And so
So there's that. And then Commissioner Eddington, out of the blue to me, was the weirdest one of the day because he's Navarre Area District 4.
All right, now, we did name a road after him, right, Chairman?
In the Aviation Whiting
Park. The entry road into the Aviation Whiting Park is named after Don Salter. So they do have a road name. That's right.
Yeah.
I won't have a problem with this, but we just can't keep changing all these buildings' names. We got to kind of slow down a little bit. There's now coming up wanting to change the name of this one. We don't have to talk about it. But I'm on board with y'all if y'all want to do this. I did not know the gentleman, but I've heard all good things about the man. And I'll be on board if that's what y'all want to do. We just got to watch, keep naming buildings after people.
Stop the flood, man. Where is he coming from with this? Was there some proposal to name like 7 more buildings after Don Salter? This is just the weirdest out of left field comment. Like, I don't know. I just no more, okay? I can't handle all these name changings. This crazy times here. So, okay, fine. But I'll vote for you. I'll vote for it. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of deciding when to say nothing. You know, like just you can just say, we're good. You know, you don't have to bring up that you would just want to not have more and more and more all the time, because I don't think anybody was proposing that anyway, and it's not likely to happen. You get a road, you get a building, you're done. You know, that's plenty good enough. Sherry Chapman, you know, who's a citizen, an at-large citizen, she basically said, how much is it going to cost? Which is a fair question. You should always ask the question, how much is something going to cost? And Colton Wright moves the item and says, let's just check on the cost, because it's things like it's going to be a polling place or there might be signs that have to be changed. And, you know, is the cost $50? Is the cost $1,000? Is the cost $5,000 to change everything? I think sometimes we raise the question of cost and we need to be reminded that, you know, sometimes it's worth spending the money on a thing that is worth doing. 621 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent. If you have your parents usually, but it might be, you know, a brother or a sister, an aunt or an uncle, or even a friend that you notice as they're getting older, they're just changing and maybe they're not as able to do things for themselves anymore. Maybe they forget things. Maybe you have to drive them around. Maybe it's more than that. You know, maybe you're kind of helping them with in-home tasks, what they call activities of daily living, like grooming or dressing or cooking or cleaning or toileting. And maybe you're even hiring somebody to do this, but it's just getting to be too much. It's getting to be too much. And you realize they need more help than we can give this way. This is why you look at assisted living. And this is especially why you call my friend John Horton. He's got a company, a service basically, called Assisted Living Locators. No fee to you, no cost. And all you do is you call him and say, here's what's going on. He'll meet with you and figure out what is really the best need for your loved one and where. Because there are like 30 different ones locally. How can you possibly research them all and know which is the right one to pick? Well, that's what he knows. And he'll help you find just the right fit, right, the right level of service so that your loved ones can have the maximum independence that they are able to handle as, you know, things change for them. That's what he does. AssistedLivingLocators.com or give him a call on his cell phone, 712-0887. The name again is John Horton.
News Radio 92.3 reminds you that hurricane season is underway. Forecasters are predicting another above-normal year for storms. And the Generator Guys are your local generator provider. Are you prepared? Don't be caught without power for days or even weeks. When the storm hits, you should be 1 week ready. And the News Radio 92.3 crew will be live and local with storm coverage on your radio, on your phone, and online. News Radio 92.3 and the Generator Guys are there for you.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night starting at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's the last month to bring out a blanket and lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Crosstown, playing a little bit of everything, including classic rock and blues. Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with Crosstown.
Taxes are too high. Spending is too high. Why did Matt Gaetz join Nancy Pelosi, AOC, and over 200 Democrats in killing the Republican plan to cut Washington spending and strengthen the border? Because Matt Gaetz would rather promote himself than protect taxpayers from runaway government spending. Conservative Republicans had a deal to cut spending by 8% and restore Trump's Remain in Mexico policy. The plan would have protected taxpayers and our borders. But Matt Gaetz killed it. Matt Gaetz spends too much time chasing TV cameras and not enough time working together with conservatives to rein in Washington spending. Call Matt Gaetz at 850-479-1183 and tell him to stop voting with Democrats and start siding with Florida taxpayers. Paid for by Americans for Tax Reform. Learn more. Visit atr.org/cutspending.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Enjoy the food, music, and fun at the Pensacola Beach Chamber's Taste of the Beach, Saturday from 10 to 4 at Casino Beach. Visit PensacolaBeachChamber.com for more. Experience an authentic Italian festival with food, Italian music, and family fun at the Sons and Daughters of Italy's Festa Italiana, Friday and Saturday in Seville Square. See VisitPensacola.com for more details. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Let me clear my throat!
I can feel the paradise before my world implodes. And tonight had something wonderful. My bad habits lead to late.
Good morning, 6:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Candy has traffic on the fives.
I do. We're watching Olivan Johnson. There's an accident happened before the show this morning near Florida HCA West Hospital. It is backed up northbound. But Davis and Johnson. Davis and Johnson. It is backed up northbound on Davis, and that whole area is very slow. So use caution there and wherever you are. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne now is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
House Republicans appear divided on a new speaker. Lawmakers held a two-hour meeting on Monday over the party's leadership situation. More meetings are scheduled for later this week. A vote to fill the House speakership could happen as soon as Wednesday. And two candidates have stepped up so far, Ohio Republican Jim Jordan and House Majority Leader Steve Scalise.
Oh, but wait, there's more.
But wait!
Kevin McCarthy yesterday undisqualified himself. He said, I didn't watch the meeting, so I can't quote him, but it was basically would you still definitely not run for? He's like, I don't know, maybe. A lot of people support me. I'm the first choice of a lot of people. So we'll see what kind of drama comes up tomorrow.
The government infomercial continues.
That's
but wait,
exactly right.
There's more.
So wait, they're voting on it tomorrow?
It's supposed to be tomorrow, yeah.
It is, yeah.
If it happens.
Should we place bets?
Oh, I think it's going to be Steve Scalise. That'd be my bet. What do you got there?
I'd be on the same thought.
I would prefer it to be Jim Jordan, but I think it'll be Steve Scalise. Candy?
Jacob, who we're training?
Jacob?
I'm going to have to go with
Steve Scalise. Yeah. All right. Candy? Voice of dissent?
Hakeem Jeffries.
Donald Trump?
Hakeem Jeffries. I could see where they would... Okay.
Go ahead, David.
Hollywood writers have now ratified a new 3-year deal with studios to officially end the 5-month writer's strike. The Writers Guild of America says that 99% of its members voted to ratify that deal. And meanwhile, renewed talks between the SAG-AFTRA Actors Union and studios are in their second week. And no winner again last night. The Powerball jackpot continues growing. It's up to, Wednesday will be the second largest in history at $1.73 billion.
Oh, come on. Say it right.
Every time. $1.73 billion.
You have to. That's the way it goes. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:28 here on News Radio 92.3. By the way, this said, it's funny because not everybody remembers everything. Everybody has this. Steve Scalise was the guy who got shot at the baseball game. Remember the congressional Democrats versus Republicans baseball game? Matt Gaetz was at that game, and the guy came in and shot. I mean, at the practice, excuse me, not at the game. Was Matt at the practice? I think he was. Anyway, I know Steve Scalise was the one who got shot and made an amazing recovery, and thank goodness. Anyway, just as a sort of FYI, you remember the nationwide emergency alert that we all got on our phones? That was last week, wasn't it? God, it seems like it was longer ago than that. There were some unintended consequences of this. This makes me... So what's a group of people that has cell phones that maybe they're not supposed to have cell phones? Maybe these are people who have committed an infraction.
So like adulterous spouses.
That's not the one I was thinking of. But yes.
Children?
Men's second phones may have been an issue during the EAS. Yeah.
Ex-husband. Excuse me.
Prisoners in jail who have contraband cell phones. Bleep, bleep, bleep. What's that? I don't know. Guess what? Who's getting rousted today? Okay, but there's a third group, one that we didn't know about. Amish men.
They're supposed to have phones. That's so funny.
There's a group of Amish men who had secretly had cell phones, and they had turned them to, you know, vibrate, silent, whatever. But, of course, you know that the alerts will still go off under those circumstances, or at least they can do. And so now several Amish men are being shunned by their community for having violated the no technology rule. And, you know, they're being in, like, the social ostracizing right now is what's happening.
Poor
to
Nebuchadnezzar.
Them, so. Jedediah, how dare you with your phone? Ezekiel, why? So what I wonder, though, is how did their Amish brethren know what the sound was?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The Israeli military has been pounding targets in Gaza for a third day and says the border has been resecured.
900-plus Israelis killed, 2,600 injured, 700 Palestinians plus killed, 3,700 injured. The Israeli government putting a number on the Hamas militants who came over on Saturday and caused so much death, destruction, and carnage. They say they killed as many as 1,500 Hamas militants.
Fox's Greg Palka in Sderot, Israel. House Speaker candidates Jim Jordan and Steve Scalise make their case in a closed-door meeting with other Republicans today. House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Michael McCaul did not support voting Speaker Kevin McCarthy out last week, calling it dangerous.
The world is watching. They're seeing a dysfunctional democracy.
Some Republicans want McCarthy back. He says it's up to them. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 59 degrees, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Santa Rosa County leaders keeping the tradition of meeting once per quarter over at the Tiger Point Community Center in Gulf Breeze. Now, last month, Commissioner Ray Eddington had suggested that perhaps those meetings should stop due to technology issues at that building. Fellow Commissioner Kerry Smith said in order to set the facility up, county staff would have to arrive there by 5 o'clock in the morning. But those meetings will remain, and Commission Chairman Colton Wright also says they're looking into what it could cost now to upgrade the audio and video production at that building.
The technology we have isn't good enough to really hold the type of meetings we should be holding. I certainly support, you know, looking at what those quotes look like, trying to upgrade this facility. I think holding meetings here is important. I just think we need to, you know, instead of doing it halfway, let's do it right.
And the commissioners also expressed some support for adding quarterly meetings on the north side of the county as well. There's been a settlement in a lawsuit over COVID data with the Florida Department of Health. Joe Ford with more.
According to USA Today, the Florida Department of Health agreed to settle the lawsuit that requires they provide more detailed COVID data. The settlement comes after a two-year fight that came after the Florida Center for Government Accountability filed suit. They were seeking daily information about COVID cases, including positivity rates, hospitalizations, deaths, and vaccinations. FDOH initially refused to release the data and claimed it didn't exist. The department will also now have to pay over $150,000 in legal fees. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Joe. Five people have been hurt after panic spread during a vigil in Alachua County. A pro-Israel vigil was held at the University of Florida at the Turlington Plaza last night, and university police say someone fainted. Someone else urged others to call 911 when that happened. That request apparently was misunderstood by the crowd at the event. That led to people running from the area. At least five people suffered minor injuries, and Police Chief Linda Koenig says there was no malicious intent, just an accident misinterpreted by the crowd. Well, those trying to get an abortion amendment in the state constitution facing a bit of a roadblock. Attorney General Ashley Moody submitted a filing to the state Supreme Court yesterday asking the court to review the wording of an amendment proposed for the November 2024 ballot. Floridians Protecting Freedom is proposing an amendment that would make it illegal for the state to ban abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health. Moody claims that proposal doesn't satisfy legal requirements for ballot placement. She says more details will come in another court filing later on. Today's a big deadline for lots of Citizens Property Insurance policy holders. About 300,000 customers have until today to respond to letters they got from a private insurer about a policy change. If you're one of those people that got a letter, you'll need to notify the private insurer whether or not you plan to accept or deny their offer. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing out there?
We're still watching. It looks like Johnson and Davis this morning, an accident right in front of the hospital, it looks like. And it is backed up northbound on Davis and very slow around the rest. 437-1620, if you have any traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. Sure. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We will have a cloudy day today with temperatures warming up near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, slightly warmer, temperatures near 66 degrees. For Wednesday, expect a wet day. We will have 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 75. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. And it's 59 in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze, and 52 in Milton. Our next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says the U.S. is working with Israel to support safe travel in the region after Hamas terrorists launched an attack on the country over the weekend. The FAA also urged U.S. airlines and pilots to use caution when flying in Israeli airspace. Amid the war, major U.S. carriers opted to suspend flights to Israel out of safety for passengers and crew members until conditions change. American, Delta, and United Airlines have all issued alerts. Chinese property giant Country Garden failed to make an international debt payment after its apartment sales dropped in September, succumbing to a liquidity crisis that has worsened over the past few months. The 31-year-old developer says it wasn't able to repay a $60 million loan denominated in Hong Kong dollars that was due and will likely default. The developer is one of the biggest and most surprising casualties of China's deepening housing downturn. On Wall Street, futures modestly higher after stocks posted strong gains yesterday. That's Your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Deep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Johnson.
Goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep downfield! Punch! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone! Picked off!
Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long, right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Shootings, beatings of those who attack, indictments, incitement, fiction, or fact.
No one can deny that these are difficult times.
fighting back. The border, the migrants, the policies we lack.
Keeping you connected to Northwest Florida and the world.
When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
To say I was incredulous when I heard about the move to cease BOCC meetings in the South End at the September 25th meeting would be an understatement.
It looks like you're separating yourselves if you do that. You know, if you cut out the meetings here, it looks like, oh, we're not important anymore. It looks like that to the people, the citizens. So anyway, we want you to come to the South End.
Yeah, this is a very interesting conversation that we were having yesterday in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, a follow-up to a proposal to stop doing the quarterly meetings in the Tiger Point Community Center, to do the road show no more because of technical issues and some other factors that came up. And they made the decision to keep doing it as long as we can get the equipment in order and to get at least a price on the equipment that it's going to take to make it possible to do all of the, you know, the live streaming and the archiving and, you know, the various resources that it takes to run the county commission meeting. They're all in place in Milton and have to be made mobile or some other system has to be used when you're on the road. Joining us now, we have the county administrator for Santa Rosa County, Devan Cook. Devan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So the end decision was to just make sure we get information so that we can make a professional meeting out of this, but there were a variety of reasons that it's kind of challenging to do the meeting down there, not the least of which is producing one that has, you know, all the technical capabilities. The live stream has been like a never-ending series of challenges, right?
That's correct. And this was something that staff brought to the board several months ago for discussion. And we postponed one meeting, and then we had another meeting coming up, of course, this month, and there was some discussion at the last board meeting. And the staff reasoning was, there are a couple of things. One is, candidly, the attendance there is not always that good, and a lot of the people that are coming are actually coming from Milton to attend those meetings. But again, that's a policy decision by the board. But just to briefly tell you what the problems are, that facility is used every Sunday by a church, which is great. But what that means is that staff has to go down and get everything set up, like at 5 a.m. in the morning, which our staff is great. They respond whether it's a hurricane, a forest fire, a flood. You know, they're always there for us. So
Agreed.
That's not the issue of being there early. The issue is when they're trying to troubleshoot this old equipment 30 minutes or an hour before the meeting starts, you know, with old electronics, it can be challenging. So what we are doing, and it just takes time to do, is to get a quote to upgrade that equipment so that when we go down there, we can live stream it. We can be sure that it's recorded and properly documented and working, so that, you know, it's not an embarrassment, because that's the challenge for staff. They're, of course, embarrassed if things aren't working, even if it's beyond their control. So, you know, those are some of the issues that have brought this up, and no one's trying to slight any part of the county at all. That was never the intent. So we've been trying for several months. It's taking time to get a quote on some new equipment, and once we get that, we'll bring it back to the board and they can decide if we keep, you know, going with the equipment we got, or if we can get some newer equipment, you know, to have a better meeting.
Yeah, and look, I'm very sympathetic to the people who felt like they were losing a thing, you know, the Keep It In My Backyard people, the Kimbys, who thought that, you know, I don't want to lose this meeting that we get once a quarter to be, you know, closer to my home. And, you know, the logistical challenges of driving to Milton from anywhere in the South End are, you know, they're real. But you got those same logistical challenges moving the staff and the county commission meeting down there, just like you would to move to Jay, which might in some ways almost be easier if you wind up doing something like that. There was a very interesting comment toward the end of the meeting where Colton Wright was going through the agenda, and he made the comment that there's all these things on the consent agenda that we don't talk about because they're on consent. Everybody agrees, 5-0, no problem with the vote. But there's a lot of important stuff in there, not the least of which is you guys got a little bit of money to help with the Woodbine Highway 90 redesign, right?
We did. We got an additional $1 million grant from the state of Florida that will go toward that design. So, again, that's county funds that do not have to be spent whenever we can get state grants to help with that project, because, of course, it's a very large project.
And that project is already in design now, right?
Yes, the design is mostly complete.
Okay,
we're in the process of finalizing some property acquisition, as we may have talked about in a previous show, for Holding Pond, and we're hoping construction is going to begin sometime in the next few months, if not before the first of the year.
Shortly
after the first of the year.
And the biggest portion of that, as I recall, is sort of widening Woodbine, but also at that close to that intersection, but also allowing there to be a second dedicated turn lane so that you're going to have a much greater capacity, almost like an on-ramp now onto Highway 90 going westbound towards Pensacola. That's the main big thing. Am I missing? I mean, that's the main thing. Even though there are other things, that's the main thing, right?
That's correct. There'll be a designated turn lane that is continuously moving and merging into the Highway 90 traffic. And, you see that in a lot of intersections. And we believe that will be a tremendous relief for the traffic there that gets backed up, at certain times of the day.
Most definitely. And by the way, for people who maybe haven't been listening all the time, there's also, in conjunction with this, there's some improvements going on at Five Points at the other end of Woodbine, another major traffic problem. That's not connected to the grant you guys got yesterday, but that's also in the design phase right now. We're talking to Devan Cook, the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Devan, hang on for just a second, because I wanted to mention a couple of these other things. There's such good news notes for people to know about. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
This report brought to you by Fresh from Florida. You can ask for Fresh from Florida by name and look for the sunny Fresh from Florida logo at local grocery stores near you. Join the Fresh from Florida Club at freshfromflorida.com. Spencer Field Road and Hamilton Bridge Road in Milton showing an accident, but no slowdowns. Davis and Johnson still showing that accident this morning near Florida HCA West Hospital. Still backed up northbound on Davis. And in Navarre, watching an accident on East Bay Boulevard and Old Bronxon Road, but it doesn't appear to be blocked. I have a thing that says roadway partially blocked, but it looks like it's moving. Just maybe slow in that area. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Devan Cook, the Santa Rosa County Administrator. So in and among this list, you feel free to choose the ones that you think are the most interesting. Lots of different projects that the county is working on. The consent agenda items that, we didn't necessarily detail, but what are some that stand out to you, Devan?
Well, one of the things is, $1.6 million grant from the Perdido Pensacola Bay Estuary Program that will help to continue with the oyster restoration in the bay. That one was huge. We've got some other, there was a cash carry forward, which is kind of an accounting issue, but we did not get to complete a project for Pine Blossom Road, and there was a $9 million cash carry forward for that project, which will be huge for the Pine Blossom area. So those are some of the ones that are, that truly, people may have seen and wondered why they weren't, talked about. And I do think that's something that Commissioner Wright brought up and something we may look at in the future, is even if they're not discussion topics, is highlighting some of those consent agenda items that are positive and that are letting the citizens know that a lot of work is being done.
Absolutely. And listen, look, so when I listen to these meetings, I usually scan the agenda. I don't always scan the agenda, but I usually do. And I appreciate it just as a person who's trying to be informed. So like I would not have known the $1 million grant for Woodbine and 90 if Colton hadn't mentioned it. And so I like, even just like in the agenda review in Escambia County, they go through each item. They don't spend a lot of time on it, but they do at least read the item. And I think that's actually useful for the citizens to kind of know what's going on. Plus, if it's good stuff, take a second and do a little, you know, hey, here's what we're doing. You know, the county government often gets criticized enough. You know, maybe take a victory moment when you can every once in a while. So, I support that. Devan Cook, he is a Santa Rosa County Administrator. Sir, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing such a good job at keeping the county running. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. Y'all have a great day.
You too. Hey, if you're thinking about that next almost new vehicle, I say it that way because Frontier Motors specializes in not your like typical used car the way you might think of one that's 8, 10, 15 years old, 150, 200,000 miles, kind of nearing the end of its functional life. Frontier doesn't sell those cars. What Frontier sells is cars that are a year, maybe 2-3 years old, low miles, great condition. A lot of times they come back from lease programs. I know that's how our car came to be in our possession because it was a lease down in South Central Florida and came back to the dealership in Orlando. They couldn't sell it, went up for auction. Frontier bought it. We bought it from them. Zips up. I mean, a car with like 12,000 miles and a year old in fantastic condition. The only thing different between that car when it was bought new and that car when we bought it a year later was it just didn't have that that great new car smell. And I can live with that. Because you know what? When you own a car for a year, it's not going to have that smell anymore for you either. So it's just like that. And you save money, and they give you a Carfax for no cost. If you're buying it from somebody else, they'll help you with that. I mean, just all the things that Frontier does, plus the selection of cars is amazing. About 300 on the lot, all grouped by type. So you're thinking about a sports car, go to this part of the parking lot. If you're thinking about buying a truck, go to that part of the parking lot. And you can sample all the different ones side by side. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you looking for your forever floors? We got them.
Hi, we're Buck and Ashley Deese, the proud owners of Deese Elite Concrete Coatings, where we make concrete pretty.
4 times stronger than epoxy with a lifetime warranty. Our coatings are perfect for your garage, patio, pool deck, and more.
For one day installation, trust the Deese Elite experience, now offering financing.
Get your forever floors by calling us today at 850-329-5599.
We make concrete pretty.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us tomorrow, 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
My heart only runs on Supreme.
Ella le gusta la gasolina.
Kind of working in a gas station.
I can't drive 55.
National average for a gallon of gas is slow to load on my computer. There we go, 368. It keeps dropping a little bit. Don't get excited. That's still way more than it should be. But okay, in Florida, 344 again continues to drop. 313 in Mississippi is your best. 576 in California. Well, it's California. 309 in Navarre east of the Walmart. 307 west at the other Walmart. My other brother, Daryl. 305 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge in Tiger Point. 329 in Gulf Breeze proper. 309 at the Raceway in Milton. Same at the Pea Ridge Murphy and 319 at a couple of stations going through Pace. On 9 Mile in Pensacola, 293. at the Walmart, $2.99 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29 coming in from the southwest side, $3.11 at the Navy Murphy, or if you wait till the Shell at Cervantes, you've got it there as well. 6:53 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay, and David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, many families in the U.S. are awaiting the return of family and friends from Israel, but others are saying their goodbyes as they send their loved ones off to fight a war.
I'm heartbroken, and I'm so scared for him and everybody in Israel, and I'm just praying. All we can do is pray.
That's Celine Mimon. Her brother's enlisted in the Israeli military. He was apparently on leave visiting family in the U.S. when Hamas launched their attack over the weekend. He's now headed back to fight for his homeland.
I hadn't realized, I maybe didn't pay enough attention, but I hadn't realized, you know, the music festival that was part of the targeted?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the way I had understood this was they killed and kidnapped a few people at the music festival or near the music. That's how I had understood it.
Right.
And again, either I wasn't paying close enough attention or the reporting became a lot more clear yesterday. They killed everybody. They killed 260 people at this music festival and killed or kidnapped, or maybe a few ran away. Like, it was an absolute slaughter. And it's just the kind of thing, you know, I've seen some of the drone footage of like the burned out, destroyed cars nearby, just all of it. You know, I mean, I think about like the Jason Aldean concert in Las Vegas and how horrific that was by a single madman, right? And then you see something like this, and there are honest to God people in the United States demonstrating on behalf of Hamas,
right?
After they go at a concert with some friends, dancing to music, and madmen coming. Anyway,
place you'd ever expect it to happen.
Sorry, David. Anyway, go ahead.
Terrible situation. The family of the late John Steinbeck is apparently auctioning off some of the writer's personal items. About $700,000 worth of items, like diaries and manuscripts, will be up for auction in New York. Those items had been passed down by his sister to her son and daughter-in-law. And
you ever read a Steinbeck novel?
I have not.
Of Mice and Men, and that's all. I can't do Grapes of Wrath. Too long. TLDNR.
Too big of a time investment, right? And scientists are naming a newly discovered snail after a Jimmy Buffett song.
Wasting away again in Margaritaville.
The Cayo Margarita is a bright yellow worm snail named after the song Margaritaville. It's a type of mollusk that sticks to the surfaces in the coral reef. The report's lead author said the team was no stranger to the regional signature drink or the famous singer. They wanted to reference the color of the drink and the place where it lives. I'm Mark Nefield.
Well, I hope it doesn't find a lost shaker of salt. It'll
there
be
you
a
go.
Dead margarita. Poor fella. God. They should name it anything to do
looking
with salt.
Looking for avoiding all
the
salt.
Yeah. Slime, slime, slime.
Candy, you're the best. Oh,
yeah,
David, that's great. I'm assuming that the family or whatever would take that as a compliment, not as shade. Like, you know, we'll name a snail. But, you know, there's not a lot of things left in the world to be named after, right? So, David, thanks for the update. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right.
The salt, you're killing me.
Well, yeah. I used to have, I'll tell you my snail story off the air. If you're thinking about selling your house, unlike a snail who doesn't need to, right? But if you're not, I'm
can't take it with you.
All right, you can, but don't waste another day. Contact Christina Leavenworth, who's great in the Leavenworth team today. Christina Leavenworth at LeavenRinkyRealty.com. Spencer Field Road and Hamilton Bridge Road showing an accident, but no slowdowns. East Bay Boulevard and Navarre and Ola Bronxon Road showing an accident, but it doesn't look like any slowdowns there either. But we are seeing where it's slow in front of Florida HCA West Hospital. It's backed up northbound on Davis near Johnson. If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
What are the four key foods that are so unsafe at the supermarket that you should never, ever eat them? You have any guess about this? They're all going to be fresh produce, by the way.
Oh.
This is produce that you don't want to eat.
Lettuce?
According to Kali Kneel, a microbiologist at the University of Delaware, and Dr. Brian.
So now Coquelet, you're sciencing. Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying. Said that certain foods, the risk is too high.
Like what?
Raw bean sprouts, alfalfa sprouts.
No problem.
Because they're impossible to wash properly, basically, is the issue. You cook them, and then they're no longer bean sprouts. They're just bean curd. Raw unpasteurized milk. Pre-cut produce.
Oh.
Especially pre-cut melon, because you got to wash melon rind real good. That can have a lot of stuff on it. So that's one. And then hot food bars, typically just because they're not kept at the right temperature, you know, above 140 or below 41. Is that all the food you eat?
I mean, a hot food bar, yes.
All right, let's do future news since we're totally out of time and I'm mismanaging the clock terribly. COVID-19, the plaintiffs won the lawsuit, and I think rightly so, against the state. And now the state is going to have to disclose things like how many people in each county died from COVID-19 and daily data instead of bi-weekly data. When will they start?
Dude, I don't know. I thought they already would have done this.
No, they've been terrible about this. Yeah, it's not up yet, I'll tell you that much. Panhandling, do we get a change in ordinances or a change in enforcement in Escambia County?
Yes.
I'm going to say yes.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.